I'm Anna Wolska with the Lupus Foundation of America, which is the founder and owner of the global peer-reviewed journal Lupus Science and Medicine that is published by BMJ. On today's episode, we will be discussing the paper entitled Evaluation of RNase Therapy in Systemic Lupus Erythematosus, a randomized phase 2a clinical trial of RSLD-132, which was recently published in Lupus Science and Medicine Journal. We are joined by the author of this article, Dr. James Posada. Hello, Dr. Posada. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Anna. Yeah, I'm Jim Posada. I'm the founder and CEO of Resolve Therapeutics. So nice to be with you today. Thanks for taking an interest in our work.
Of course, thank you very much for your time today. In our last podcast, we talked about how hydroxychloroquine serves as the cornerstone of lupus treatment. Here, we are going to talk about your novel potential therapy for lupus patients, a biologic drug called RSLD-132. Could you please tell us what is it exactly and how is it novel?
Sure, Anna. So RSLB-132 is a biologic drug, as you mentioned. It's actually an Fc fusion protein. So it's composed of catalytically active human RNase enzyme that's been fused to a human immunoglobulin Fc domain. So it's an Fc molecule. It has about a three-week half-life, and the Fc domain has been engineered so the drug is not taken up into cells. So basically, the idea is we are able to significantly increase the amount of RNase catalytic activity in the serum of lupus patients.
And how is it novel compared to the standard treatment?
Yeah, sure. So that's a good question. It's actually a completely different approach. So basically, we are working way upstream of the inflammatory cascade. We think that RNA is sort of the trigger for interferons and inflammatory process. Most of the drugs in development and on the market target either elimination of B cells or inhibition of single cytokines. So we are targeting what we believe to be the cause of the inflammation. And so just to go back, so we started the company in 2011 based on the work of Keith Elkon and Jeff Ledbetter at the University of Washington. And then those ideas were put into practice by Resolve scientists who created the drug and did all the preclinical work to get it into man. And those scientists principally are Chris Gable and John Dodens. So Keith Elkon's idea was he recognized that we know that lupus patients have a broad array of autoantibodies, right? And most of these antibodies are bound to proteins that are one way or another involved in RNA processing. And they have often RNA bound to them. And Keith recognized early on that this RNA could bind to TLR7 and trigger interferon. And as you know, the interferon signature and increased interferon is one of the hallmarks of lupus. So, and you know, by the way, in the intervening 12 years, there's been a huge explosion of research into how the immune system senses RNA. So I think his original idea was correct. So Keith and Jeff basically said, look, let's create a molecule, an enzyme that will digest the RNA that's bound to these autoantibodies. And that should reduce inflammation because antibodies on their own, as Keith pointed out, are pretty inert, you know, fairly inert molecules. It's really the antigen, the RNA that's binding to TLR7 and turning on interferon. So the idea being if you digest this RNA and eliminate it, we'll reduce inflammation. And, you know, we've done a couple of studies in autoimmune patients now, the one we published in lupus and one in Sjogren's syndrome that seem to suggest that that's accurate.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that. That makes it very clear. And yeah, you mentioned that you described a randomized phase 2a clinical trial of this novel therapy. Could you please describe its design and primary objectives?
Sure, yeah. This study was really aimed at trying to identify the subgroup of lupus patients for whom this therapy would be most clinically beneficial. So as you know, lupus is a very heterogeneous disease. So Some patients will respond to, for example, inhibition of interferon, others will not. This is the first time an approach like this, RNase, has been used in lupus patients. And so the idea was we wanted to try and figure out who this therapy would benefit the most. So one of the most common symptoms that lupus patients have is this skin rash, right? And we looked at skin activity using the CLASI instrument that was designed by Dr. Wirth in Philadelphia for a couple of reasons. One, it's the most one of the most common symptoms. And two, it's fairly objective. So we could take pictures of the patient's skin disease and it can be quantitated through the CLASI score. And then all of the data can be centrally adjudicated. So we thought it was the most objective measure we could use at that time to kind of systematically look at lupus activity. So the entry criteria were patients that had pretty severe skin rash, according to the CLASI score. We treated patients for 6 months with drug or placebo, and then we looked at the CLASI score again. And so because most of the lupus trials in the past have been done selecting patients with a very high SLEDAI score, the most severe patients, we did not have a SLEDAI criteria. So we got a broad range of patients, a broad cross-section of lupus patients that all had active skin disease, but a whole wide range of SLEDAI scores and systemic disease involvement. So what we found was after 6 months of treatment that patients that had more severe systemic disease activity as judged by SLEDAI appeared to more benefit from the drug than those patients that had very mild systemic disease activity. Even though they had a significant rash, they didn't seem to benefit as well as patients with a higher SLEDAI score.
So these were the main results from the study. And were there any other key findings from the trial?
Well, that was really the goal, to identify the subgroup of patients for whom we would do follow-up studies. And I think we have a good idea of what to do next based on that. The drug was very well tolerated. All of the studies we've done so far, it's a fully human protein and we don't see any anti-drug antibodies and really excellent safety profile. So it was, you know, this was the first large study with 65 patients, that first large study in lupus. And it was good to see that the drug was well tolerated. We didn't really have any injection site reactions and really no adverse events that were very different from placebo. So from that standpoint, I think, you know, it was very informative.
So what is the route administration of the drug?
Yeah, so right now the drug is administered by an IV infusion. Mm-hmm. Although we're also working on a subcutaneous formulation. So we have developed a sub-Q formulation. And I think, you know, in later stage studies, we will be able to use that.
That's excellent. And how often the drug needs to be administered to patients?
So in the study, we initially did a sort of a loading dose every week for 3 weeks, and then it was twice a month. But we're in future studies, we'll also test once monthly dosing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Much easier for patients.
Exactly. And you know, ultimately the goal would be to have, you know, once a month subcutaneous.
Yes, that's excellent. Yeah.
So the patients could, you know, use a pen to inject it.
So they could do it at home. They don't have to go to the clinic to have the drug administered to them.
Exactly. Yes.
So do you think, is there any other area of research in this particular drug that could potentially even move it further into development? Like, when could we expect this drug to be available to patients?
Yeah, so as you know, the drug development process is a long one.
And it's expensive.
Very expensive. So we're a small biotech company and we operate on venture capital investments. So we don't obviously have the same resources as the Pfizers and the Mercks, but we have done a phase two study in Sjogren's syndrome looking at fatigue, and we had a very positive response there, and we're working on a larger phase two study. And we also, interestingly, did a long COVID study, which is going to be published shortly. We've just completed that. As far as the lupus study, the next step would really be a large phase two study. And we are in the process of trying to identify a pharma partner that would work with us in late stage development of the compound. But we would think there would be, you know, at least probably 5 to 6 years before this would be submitted for marketing.
So if there was this large phase two study going to happen in the future, where could our patients learn about this if they wanted to contribute to the study as volunteers?
Yeah, great question. So we keep our website updated and we send out press releases as we get closer to the point of initiating a study. And we also will list the study on clinicaltrials.gov along with all of the sites so that patients can go directly to clinicaltrials.gov and see if there are any sites close to where they are. But as we get closer to starting the larger phase two, you know, we will send out a press release. So it'll be on the news and we'll give that to the LFA to let patients know that it may be available in the future.
And how many patients would you like to have in this large clinical trial?
I think this study would probably be a little over 200 patients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's excellent. That's a good number. And it's always, you know, good to have people, you know, right, trying to be the part of it. Yeah, so if there's anything else that you would think, you mentioned that this drug was as well tested for Sjögren disease and in long COVID. And do you think of any other applications this drug could have?
Well, we saw a positive impact in long COVID on patients' fatigue. And we got a really interesting result from that study as well, in that the drug appeared to be effective in women, but not men.
Interesting.
And all of the, you know, the autoimmune diseases we're working on, lupus and Sjogren's, are all diseases of women. And there are actually a large number of investigators that think that long COVID is really just another form of ME/CFS or chronic fatigue syndrome. Mm-hmm. And you know that obviously chronic fatigue syndrome, one of the main symptoms is fatigue. And we've been able to show in our Sjogren study and also in our long COVID study a positive impact on fatigue. So that would be an area that we're actively exploring to see if we might do a pilot study there. That's an area that's been extremely underserved and primarily affects women and no therapy available. So
yeah, like lupus has, yeah. So the chronic fatigue is as well the main symptom of lupus patients. And obviously it is way more common lupus in women. Dr. Posada, thank you very much for joining us today. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah. And just in closing, I think we should like to thank all the patients that were involved in this study. We really appreciate their, you know, effort and willingness to come out and spend 6 months, visiting the sites for their infusions. And we hope that we'll have some effective therapy for them in the future.
Wonderful. Thank you. That was Dr. Posada describing his research, the development in phase 2A clinical trial of his new biologic drug that potentially could be added in future to the standard of care in lupus systemic erythematosus. I'm Anna Wolska. Thanks for listening. And please don't forget to tune into our next episode.